If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to open them to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. We'll be there in just a moment. The television network ABC came out with a new television hit this spring, and it's entitled Resurrection. Some of you may have seen it already. It's set in the fictional town of Arcadia, Missouri. And things in that small town are turned upside down when the deceased loved ones of many of the residents of that town come alive again. This theme of resurrection has been the premise for literary works ranging from Rip Van Winkle to Frankenstein. Mankind has always been fascinated with the concept of coming alive again. The tombs of the pharaohs attest to this very desire. Science met fiction when Robert Edinger, who had been fascinated by many of the sci-fi books of the 60s, began to believe that maybe it was possible. Edinger founded a business called Cryonics Institute. It's located in Clinton Township, Michigan. And inside his institute today are over 100 bodies. They're floating inside giant bottles filled with nitrogen at temperatures that are colder than minus 30 degrees Celsius. Among the customers who have paid for a place in this institute for their bodies to be frozen and stored are baseball great Ted Williams. If you have a fear of dying with no hope of a resurrection, you can pay $30,000 and have your body frozen and suspended there in this Cryonics Institute in Michigan. Will be stored, hopefully, until the day that doctors discover a cure for whatever cost you your life, and your body can be then unfrozen and resuscitated in some way, and you'll get a second chance at living. 2,000 years ago, a man called Jesus began to cause a stir in the Roman province of Judea, claiming to have come from heaven to earth and making the amazing claim that he was the very Son of God. For 3 years, he astounded the populace through his teaching and through his miracles. The most startling miracles of which were raising people from the dead. On one occasion, he stopped a funeral procession. They were carrying the coffin of a young man. And there on the way to the cemetery, Jesus stopped the proceedings. He told the bereaved mother who had already lost her husband, now her only son, to stop crying. And then he raised that young man from the dead. Look here in Luke chapter 7, down in verse 11. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain. And his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe. And praise God, a great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people, and this news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. On another occasion, Jesus was met by a distraught father this man's daughter was dangerously ill. And he had heard about Jesus' ability to restore health to those who were ill. And he frantically sought Jesus out. But as they were on their way to the home where that little girl lay dying, word came that it was too late. Look over in the next chapter of Luke, chapter 8, down in verse 49. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Perhaps the most famous resurrection story that we read of in Christ's ministry, and there are others in both the Old and New Testament, but perhaps the most famous of all was the raising of Lazarus. Mary and Martha and Lazarus, those two sisters and a brother, lived just outside of Jerusalem. And as Jesus would frequently come to Jerusalem, they developed a close friendship. He would stay with them. He enjoyed dinners in their home. But Lazarus grew very ill. And those two sisters, knowing of the power of Jesus to restore health to a human body with illness, they sent for Jesus, knowing that because of their close friendship, he would come. Well, Lazarus grew worse. And I can only imagine the conversations that must have gone on as he lapsed in and out of consciousness. And they said, "Hold on, Lazarus. We've let Jesus know. He's not far away. He's coming. Hold on. He'll be here." Well, he never came. And Lazarus died. And they planned his funeral. And they had his funeral. And Jesus didn't even come to the funeral. And in John chapter 11, we read the story of what happened next. There in John chapter 11, down in verse 17, Jesus finally did come. Days later, he came. And there in verse 17, it says, "On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. 'Lord,' Martha said to Jesus, 'if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" There was hurt in her voice. The same kind of hurt that's been voiced by many people before and after that time. People who have prayed to God and asked God to come and to heal a loved one. But God didn't come and no healing took place. And it's hard for us to understand why God would let one we love so dearly slip away from us. Well, the story continues in verse 23, and Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he's asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, and she echoed the words of her sister, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he said. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And that heart that had been still for 4 days began to pump. And those eyelids that had been closed fluttered open. And those empty lungs once again filled with life-giving oxygen. And those stiff arms and legs began to stir. And in verse 44, it says, "The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, 'Take off the grave clothes and let him go.'" And can you imagine the celebration they had that night as they once again sat around the dinner table, those sisters with their brother, with Jesus in their midst? What kind of man is this who claims to have come from heaven, who calls himself the Son of the living God, a man who heals the sick and even raises the dead from the grave? 1,000 years before Jesus came into this world, the Old Testament prophets told about him coming. And one of the things they predicted about him, among many things, was that he would die and he would come alive again. He himself would die and rise from the dead. In Psalm 16, verses 9 and 10, written 1,000 years before Jesus came, it says this, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." It was prophesied that Jesus' body would not stay in the grave. When the Holy One came, his body would never decay. Jesus himself predicted his own death, burial, and resurrection. Talking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, we read, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life." He told them specifically, "I will be killed, but on the third day, I'll come alive again." And it happened exactly as had been prophesied 1,000 years before, exactly as Jesus explained to his disciples that it was going to happen. He went to Jerusalem And they arrested him, and they tried him, and they mocked him, and they scourged him. And they nailed him to the cross. And on that Friday, he hung on the cross. The day that we refer to as Good Friday. And from noon until 3 o'clock, darkness covered the cross. And Jesus, there at the end, cried out to his Father, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." Well, they took him down on that Friday afternoon, and they wrapped his body like a mummy would be wrapped, and they placed him in that new tomb in the garden. And all Friday afternoon, that evening, all day Saturday, all Saturday night, that lifeless body lay there. But early on Sunday morning, before the sun even rose, on that day, the resurrection power of God entered that tomb and energized that body, and Jesus, who had been dead, came alive again. Read with me over in Matthew chapter 28, the last part of the gospel there of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, beginning there in verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. And they came to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" The apostles did see him. And others saw it. Crowds of people witnessed the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, still bearing the scars of his crucifixion. And a group was gathered on top of that mountain just outside of Jerusalem not many days after that, when he began to rise from the earth and he ascended right into the clouds. And today, all around the world, his resurrection is being celebrated. But his resurrection is different from any other person who came back from the dead, because that young man from Nain that Jesus raised, he eventually died again. And Jairus' daughter, I don't know how long she lived, but she eventually went through death a second time. And Lazarus, who was given back to his sisters, eventually died and was buried. And there his body still is. But Jesus rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, and he is still alive, never to die again. And he has left amazing promises for us as his followers. Just listen in John 11, that passage we just read. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." And in John 5:28, we're told that all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come out, just like Lazarus did. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. One day he will call your name, and just like Lazarus, you will step forth from your grave. Resurrection is a reality. Jesus proved it. His grave stands empty in Jerusalem today as a testimony to that resurrection from the dead. Jesus tells us, if you want to live forever, you can, through me. not through cryonics, not through any Frankenstein-like experiment, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Mary Shelley made up a fictional story about a man that brought someone back from the grave through experiments and lightning. Robert Edinger today runs a business freezing people, waiting for the opportunity to raise them back into life. Jesus didn't just talk about it. It wasn't just an experiment. Jesus demonstrated it. He has shown us that He has risen the first fruits from the dead, and He has promised us that we will rise just like Him. In Philippians 3, Paul wrote, "We eagerly await a Savior from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." One day I'm going to have a body just like the body of Jesus that can never be touched again by sickness or by death. And let me just say this morning, if you're here and you have never responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm going to hang around back here at the back, and we have any number of people who will be willing to help you. In fact, just about any of our members who are here, if you'll ask them for help in understanding what you need to do to obey the gospel, they will gladly guide you in the right direction. Jesus has come that we may have life and have it abundantly and have it eternally. If you need to come this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.